This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute, headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. As many of you have heard this week, 2010 marks 50 years of ministry, 50 years of faithfully providing Christians worldwide with carefully researched information and well-reasoned answers to the most pressing questions concerning cults, culture, and Christianity. Well, this year we are tackling the issue of biblical illiteracy head-on by encouraging listeners to read through the entire Bible in 1 year using Hank's unique legacy reading plan. To join Hank on air with your questions, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. Well, now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and another couple of words about the Legacy Reading Plan. The overarching objective of this plan is to read through the Bible once a year, every year, for the rest of your life. The reading calendar is naturally segmented into seasons, and the seasons into months. So at the beginning of every year, just like right now, you know that during the winter you're going to focus on the Pentateuch and poetry, in spring the historical books, in summer the prophets, and during the fall the New Testament. And each season is further broken down into months. So every January, you know your goal is to read through Genesis and Exodus, and every December the Synoptic Gospels and Acts. Of course, there are times when you're going to naturally read 10 chapters at a time, and others when you'll read one or two. But more importantly, you're going to learn to read the Bible just as you read other literature, not in bits, but rather in books. Whenever you're reading an author, you want the entirety of what the author is driving at. And many of the books of the Bible are long-sustained arguments. To understand the arguments, you have to read the entirety of those long, sophisticated, and sustained arguments. And we should also recall that these letters, these books, are etched in heavenly handwriting. As believers, we say that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, which is to say, God has spoken. These are His words. And so if you're not in the Word of God or getting the Word of God into you, change that woeful condition today. Make a pledge that you are going to read through the Bible, that you are going to immerse yourself in the Word of God. Again, January, we're in Genesis and Exodus, and if you want the Legacy Reading Plan on a place marker, I'd be delighted to send that out to you for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Just write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or contact us on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Of course, you can always talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000. CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up is David in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. It's nice to talk to you again. My question today was regarding Holy Communion. Is it always good to have a general confession of sin, like at worship service or church service, before you partake of the communion elements?
Well, I think that someone should be reminded to eat the bread and drink the cup in a worthy manner. Because whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. And therefore, we ought to examine ourselves before we eat the bread and drink the cup. Paul's admonition is clear, and I think that we should follow that today. We should follow that individually. It should be part of what we consider every time we take communion, and it's not a bad idea for the pastor to remind the congregation of the same.
Oh, okay. Well, the reason I was asking is every time we have a baptism at the Episcopal Church I go to, we omit the general confession of sin and absolution that usually we say, and I was just a little bit concerned about that. I mean, I don't know if I'm being a little legalistic or... I'm just trying to follow the scriptures.
Well, and I think we need to take the sacrament seriously, and I think that's your point. It's the point that the scripture emphatically makes as well.
So do you think I'm not being overly legalistically, we should include the confession, general confession of sin and absolution, you know, even at a baptism?
Well, I think we have to understand what a baptism is and not be glib about it. When someone is baptized in a New Testament sense, what are they saying? First and foremost, in the early Christian church, someone who was baptized was saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is Yahweh, the God of Israel. I'm being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to take up my cross and daily follow him, and I'm identifying fully and visibly with the body of Christ so that I am repenting of my sins and I'm receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and the visible testimony of that is baptism. And in the early Christian church, people did not take this for granted because oftentimes their baptism was the prelude to their death, which is to say those who said Christ is Lord as opposed to saying Caesar is Lord were often hauled off into the hippodromes and torn apart by wild beasts. So this was something very, very serious. This is a way of identifying visibly with the body of Christ, and as such, we should not partake of this or any other sacrament with a cavalier heart or spirit. It is the first act of obedience for a believer who identifies visibly with Christ and with his body. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jarrett in Turlock, California. Hi, Jarrett.
Hi, Hank. I just want to ask you about Bill Johnson and his ministry up in Bethel Church in Redding, California.
Yeah, it's not a ministry that we've ever recommended because of their position on healing. They believe that this is the birthright of the believer. They also believe in the restoration of super apostles and prophets who walk in miraculous signs and wonders as an everyday, very common affair. It becomes a lifestyle for them. And they endorse some of the most outrageously false teachers in this or any other generation. Teachers including Todd Bentley, Bob Jones, Rick Joyner, John and Carol Arnott, Rodney Howard Brown, and the list goes on. So this is not a ministry we would recommend. This is like taking the sheep and putting them in the wolf pen.
Right. Well, I was asking because my brother is started to go to that church and became very concerned. I didn't know if he had any specific things on him on the website or anything. I don't think I saw anything.
Well, we can send you some information, but let me refer you to a book that I wrote. It's called Counterfeit Revival.
Mm-hmm.
And that book deals with many of the manifestations which are underscored as being biblical, which are decidedly unbiblical. So they're underscoring a counterfeit as opposed to the genuine. And I wrote a complete book about this in principle. Now, it doesn't deal specifically with Bill Johnson or Bethel Church, but in principle it certainly does.
Okay. Also, I just want, one other thing that was specific about the church is, and I'm another church my brother went to temporarily, which was they sometimes have this, when they're doing their tithe, they'll do this thing where, you know, as we receive today's offering, we believe in the Lord for jobs and better jobs, and it goes on a list of blessings they want in the middle of their tithe, and it just seems kind of contradictory of what that moment is supposed to be about.
Yeah, we certainly want God's blessing on our lives. But however, we don't want to try to make a bargain with God such that the premise becomes, I'm going to give in order to get. We give with a grateful heart. And in giving, we are demonstrating that we are leaning on the arm of God as opposed to leaning on the arm of flesh, that we trust him more than we trust ourselves. And of course, the whole idea of tithing is, as has been so correctly said, the training wheels to New Testament giving, so that you can eventually get to the point where you hold everything that you have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you very much. It was because of your ministry that when, as soon as I went to church, I automatically recognized there's something wrong. there. So I thank you, and thank you for your ministry.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for the encouragement. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Butch next. Butch is listening in Yukon, Oregon, or Oklahoma, I should say, on KQCV. Hi, Butch.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Nice talking to you.
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question concerning the tribulation period. I've recently been visiting a church, and I was thinking about joining it. And the day I was going to join, we were talking about the book of Revelations, and come to find out that they believe the church is going through the tribulation period. And I don't believe that. My question is, because I think that the church is going to be taken out before the tribulation period, should I stay there, or should I go find some church that believes what I believe concerning that?
Well, what you believe and they believe are two different things, and what I believe and you believe and they believe are different things as well. But I think we have to step back here for just a moment and say, we are united as brothers and sisters in the Lord, not on the basis of secondary or non-essential issues, but rather on the essentials of the historic Christian faith. It is the essentials that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cult. So in essentials, there must be unity, non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. So the timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium, we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over. However, having said that, I think it's a very significant issue. It's an issue that involves learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. And as a consequence of that, I have written an extensive book on this subject called The Apocalypse Code. It might give you some insights with respect to the tribulation that you haven't previously considered.
Right. All right, well, that sounds great.
Okay.
The name of that book is The Apocalypse Code.
Yeah, it's called The Apocalypse Code, and at the end of the day, it teaches you to read the Bible for all it's worth. We say God has spoken. The attendant question is, what has God said?
Right.
Okay?
All right, thanks, Hank.
Hey, you got it, my friend. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Clay. Clay is listening on XM170 in Georgia. Hi, Clay.
Hi, how you doing, Hank?
I'm well, thank you.
My question is in regard to Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend of mine point to me to those verses that's, I don't know verbatim, but it's something to the effect of anyone who adds to or takes away from the books of the prophecy in this book, name will be taken out of, and some translations say the tree of life, and some say the book of life.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, see there, you can lose your salvation. And I didn't know how to answer.
Yeah, and by the way, this is a reiteration of what we find in the Old Testament. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. So the point is simply that we are not to tamper with the prophecy that God has given us, and we are not to add our words to it or change it. You have to remember in context, though, these words are written specifically with respect to the book of Revelation, and therefore John says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book, and if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Now, I don't think that you can take either the Deuteronomy 4 passage or the Revelation 22 passage and ask those passages to answer a question with respect to eternal security. I don't think these passages are intended to answer that question. If you want to look at the subject of eternal security, you want to look at other passages that clearly answer those questions, because Scripture is replete with passages that testify to the security of the believer. John 5:24, for example, assures us that he who believes has eternal life. 1 Corinthians 1:8 promises that Christ will keep you strong to the end. Jude 24 guarantees that God is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault. And I love Ephesians, which provides the surety that we are marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So my view is that the Lord's trees are evergreen. I think that the whole of Scripture clearly communicates that, and I think that the passages to which you refer, both Revelation 22 and its corollary in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 4, are designed to say that we are not to tamper with the prophecy of God, not designed to say anything about eternal security. I've written about this in various places, including the Apocalypse Code, and more specifically in a book called The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order it online at equip.org, and we'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
In 2010, we're celebrating our 50th year of ministry. Since our inception, we have made it a priority to identify and provide you with the very best resources that will assist you in your personal walk with Christ. Finding and purchasing these specially selected resources has never been easier. Just log on to equip.org and click on the eStore tab. That's equip.org. Now don't touch that dial. Hank will be right back after this short break. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity: emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ, and The Case for a Creator DVDs in the Lee Strobel 3-disc collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Despite decades of answering questions and exposing false teachings, biblical illiteracy is a greater problem than ever before. This year, we are tackling that problem head-on, as women's Bible teacher Kathy Taylor has already experienced.
You're grounding them in the fundamentals of our Christian faith.
We challenge you to join us in reading through the Bible in a year and to follow Hank's legacy reading plan as we embark on the adventure of a lifetime. To help you get started and to say thank you for supporting the Christian Research Institute, we'd like to send you two specially designed Legacy Reading Plan place markers. To join the adventure and request your Legacy Reading Plan place markers, go online to equip.org, that's equip.org, or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-274. And now here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Talk next to Jenny. Jenny's listening in New Jersey. Hi, Jenny. I'm having a hard time getting to Jenny on line 7. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just was exposed to a rather riveting DVD or a video. You can get it online. It's entitled Making a Killing, The Untold Story of Psychotropic Drugging. It's put out by the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. It says it's exposing an $80 billion industry that has a way of putting a mental label or a diagnostic label of that would be found in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders, and everything gets a label and everything is numbered, and that's how the funding takes place to have drugs that, in many cases, people are dependent on for life. I have a personal interest in why I would want to get to the truth of this kind of information. And after looking on the internet, I found that it is associated with the Church of Scientology, which I know to be a cult, and they're not a belief system that I would subscribe to as a born-again Christian, and wonder if the information they promote on such a video could be trusted if the underlying organization is not to be trusted.
Well, and that's a good question. They have a lot of different, what I would refer to as front organizations or means of getting people associated with their church. And some of those organizations may actually have some redeeming social qualities where there's some value that you might derive from it. But I would be very, very worried about participating in any front group or organization associated with Scientology. Mm-hmm. Scientology is a very dangerous movement on many different levels. It obviously is completely antithetical to Christianity. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, but for people that want a bit of an overview, the Church of Scientology was founded in the 50s by L. Ron Hubbard. And the church claims to be compatible with Christianity. The two belief structures, one rooted in science fiction and the other in soteriological fact, are contradictory and can't be harmonized. Mm-hmm. They teach that humans are immortal thetans, that's T-H-E-T-A-N-S, thetans that are trapped in a physical universe of their own mental construction, and therefore humans are not sinners in need of a savior, but they're immortal beings who can overcome enslaving engrams. And this is you know, whenever I talk about this, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. I mean, these engrams are the accumulation of trillions of years of painful subconscious memories and through the pseudo-psychology of what they've developed as auditing the counseling process through which their devotees can locate and resolve these past traumatic experiences and experience spiritual enlightenment, they can reach a place called clear. But Scientology is a rejection of the biblical doctrines of creation, of original sin, of exclusive salvation through Jesus Christ, and Scientology holds that apart from auditing, a continuous cycle of reincarnation awaits every single person. And if you want to escape that vicious cycle, you have to become self-actualized through this pseudo-psychology of Scientology. And no religion that teaches self-actualization by escape from the body can ever be reconciled with the Christian belief of perfection, purification, and preservation through resurrection. They're mutually exclusive idea.
May I ask you what you think the underlying motivation is for putting out this kind of video and public information, or trying to make the public aware of what they're calling an industry of death, you know, and psychiatric drugs that are, you know, associated with that kind of money-making machine?
Well, I can't speak to their motivations, and I never have on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I can test what they say.
You can trust that kind of information if it comes from such a source.
No, I think that when you get information, as I have over the years from Scientology, you have to be able to discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light, and if you don't have well-developed discernment skills, you're in a quagmire of truth and error. It's always a muddy mixture, and I found over and over again that a lot of their fronts are ways of hooking people into their organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. But just personally speaking, if you had a loved one that you saw go downhill, so after being put on these kind of medications, and you see that they're dependent upon them, and where do you go? You know.
Well, I think that's the operative question. You don't go to Scientology, but there are
a lot
of places.
No, I certainly wouldn't go. I'm a firm believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and his power to deliver, but I know even deliverance has varying views within the Christian faith.
Well, right. I mean, you don't want to take mental disorders and say that they are demons. In other words, you don't want to misdiagnose the problem that a person has, no matter what that problem is. You also don't want to mistreat people with the wrong kinds of drugs. Mm-hmm. And I think it is a significant problem. I think people are often over-medicated or prescribed drugs in a dependency fashion. So I think that there's a lot of truth to it, but you don't want to figure out the problem for a loved one by going to the wrong source, mm-hmm. particularly if you don't have a highly developed sense of discernment. I'm not certainly saying that about you because I don't know you, but I'm just suggesting that I would not use that as the source of my information. There are a lot of good sources that you can go to, and I'd be happy to do whatever we can do to help you from that perspective. Be happy to talk to you personally about this or have one of my assistants speak to you about this.
Well, that would be greatly appreciated.
Well, here's what we'll do. You hang on, and we will make direct contact with you and work with you, and I think we'll be able to be of benefit to you.
Oh, I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and we'll be just absolutely delighted to do that. We'll go back to the phone lines, talk to Dave. Dave is listening on the Bot Broadcasting Network in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
Just had a general question. I've been reading through the Old Testament and the Pentateuch books right now, and I noticed in Numbers, I think it's chapter 32, verse 14, talks about God is about to basically wipe out the nation of Israel for their complaining and basically backsliding against him. And it basically says that God changed his mind. And I've also noticed throughout my reading that things like with the wives and concubines and just things that were relevant then or relevant today that we shouldn't do weren't necessarily relevant then, and God kind of seemed to overlook them. My main question, I guess, is how is that explained as I know God is an unchanging God? Did he change his mind? Did he just overlook things? How does that explain biblically?
Yeah, well, first of all, there are a lot of practices that you find in the Old Testament that are just candidly communicated. Not in the sense that these are things that are prescribed by Scripture, but they're communicated in Scripture such that the Bible does not airbrush the patriarchs and make them anything other than what they were, sinful people. So when kings would multiply wives or concubines, the Bible specifically speaks out against the practice. The fact that the patriarchs were involved in the practice, and the Bible records their involvement in practices that the Lord speaks out against, does not in any way prescribe those practices as being biblical. The fact that they're in the Bible doesn't mean that they're practices that the Lord wants us to participate in. And that certainly is the case with multiplying wives, as Deuteronomy 17:17 points out. But beyond that, I think that you need to understand a principle with respect to God relenting, which is to say, if we repent, God will relent. God will show mercy. So it isn't that God changes his mind. That is an anthropomorphism. It is a human condescension. I mean, a divine condescension to human understanding. So God is, in essence, not changing his mind. We're changing in perspective to God. Once we're going in one direction, now we turn and we're going in the other direction. So ultimately, it's not God who is changing, but we are changing in relationship to God.
So when Moses comes to God on behalf of the Israelite people and asks him to not do this, so his name isn't profaned among the nations, God doesn't necessarily change his mind. I think it was the NASB that I read that translation basically came out that he changed his mind. It's more along the lines of his mercy and the characteristic of his mercy overruled his justice at the time. Just like as Christ on the cross has paid for our sin today, his mercy and love, if we're willing to repent and accept it, has overruled.
Sure, and you see this in graphic detail in the book of Jonah. God did not change, the Ninevites did. Thus they came under God's mercy rather than his justice. And the way I typically illustrate this is if I walk into a strong east wind, the wind is in my face. If I turn and walk west, the wind is no longer in my face. It's at my back. There's no change in the wind. My change of direction has brought me into a new relationship with the wind. And in similar fashion, the Ninevites, when they repent, bring them into a new relationship with God. There's a passage you might want to look at. It's Jeremiah 18:7-10 in this regard. Coming up to the station break, we'll be right back with more of your questions.
The Christian Research Journal is the premier magazine covering relevant and current issues on Christianity, faith, ethics, religious movements, philosophy, and so much more. Recently on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, joined Hank in the studio to discuss the latest issue, which includes a special 5-part article re-evaluating our views on the local church. This issue is available in print or digital format, or you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal at equip.org. You can also call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. It's the first century, and the young Christian church is facing numerous obstacles, but it's determined to not only survive, but thrive. The Last Disciple and the Last Sacrifice by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. As you read The Last Disciple and The Last Sacrifice, you will be transported back in time when the ink was still fresh on the pages of Scripture. You'll take a front row seat in the arena as Christians face death with courage. And you'll be encouraged as John's words from Revelation give hope to the hopeless and life to those fleeing certain death. It will give you a clearer understanding of biblical prophecy as you experience history through the eyes of those who lived it. The Last Disciple and the Last Sacrifice by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Available individually or for a special package price. Call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. If the Bible Answer Man has ministered to you, you have our faithful donors to thank for that. We regularly hear about changed lives and people equipped for good works through what God is doing through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. The continued regular, prayerful, and financial support from our Bible Answer Man monthly support team, the CRI Fellowships, and the President's Council is what keeps the Bible Answer Man on the air on this station. If the program has meant something to your life, why not call us and join our team? When you partner with us, you'll also receive special benefits. To join or find out more, our ministry phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. And of course, you're welcome to join the team online on our secure website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we do need people to stand with us prayerfully and financially for your gift to the ministry right now. I'd love to send you a laminated place marker. It's the Legacy Reading Plan. It'll remind you to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you, and it will teach you to read the Bible not in bits, but rather in books. Again, for your gift to the ministry, we'll send you the place marker. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org by speaking to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We'll be writing it, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Anthony, listening on the web in Dayton, Ohio. Hi, Anthony.
How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
You can you tell me some information about the Oneness Pentecostal movement? Is that a cult?
Yeah, I think it certainly is from a theological perspective. It claims to be Christian, but compromises, confuses, and contradicts essential Christian doctrine. For example, they believe that unless you are baptized using their formula, you're not truly saved. And their formula is, I baptize you in the name of Jesus, not I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the belief that you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus only has led them to the further error that Jesus is himself the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus. In fact, they go so far as to say that the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan, polytheistic philosophy. And then also they hold to this litany of legalistic prescriptions, including the test of rebaptism by their formula with evidence of speaking in tongues. In other words, no tongues, no salvation. And that has put enormous pressure on their adherents to conjure up the gift of tongues. Those who do not speak in tongues are thought to be lacking in faith or even to be entirely unrepentant.
So is it like a work salvation? Would you consider it that?
Say again?
Would it be like trying to, like works, like you know, like legalism?
Yeah, very, very much so. They have all kinds of legalistic prescriptions, and I only gave you one example, but depending on which pastor of which Oneness Pentecostal church, some are stressed more than others, but legalism is a huge problem in their movement.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Hey, you got it. Thank you for your call. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order again on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. And for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, I would be happy, delighted, to personalize a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition for you, a family member, or for a friend. Just let me know. I also want to remind everybody, as we go back to calls in just a second here, that I'm going to stay in studio today for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking calls. So if you want to ask your question in the next hour, I'll be here. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265. Camry, you're next in Oklahoma, Oklahoma. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just had a quick question. I just want to know if you were familiar with a teacher by the name of Chuck Missler.
I am.
And what your thoughts were on that?
Well, I would say, unfortunately, Chuck Missler has trafficked in selling and sensationalism. That was particularly evident during the Y2K millennium bug, quote-unquote, manufactured crisis. But this is a guy that's highly prone to theological speculation. He goes off on Bible codes, pyramidology, esoteric teachings of all kinds, including newspaper theology, and even argues that if you deny the distinction between Israel and the church, you are of the synagogue of Satan, which would rule a whole lot of Christians out of a relationship with God.
Okay, that's all I pretty need to know. I've heard a couple of programs from him on a couple of Christian stations, but I didn't know much about him, so thank you for answering my question.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to David listening on XM170 in South Carolina. Hi, David. Hello, David. I guess I'm not getting David. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Brian. He's listening in Littleton, Colorado on KRKS. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. I really appreciate this opportunity to ask you this question. I heard yesterday a gentleman, a friend of mine, said that he was listening to a radio show And a gentleman said that he knew, he had read it himself, that in the health care bill they had included something that requires every American to take a chip. And anyone that would be born in America, et cetera, you would not be able to buy, sell anything. And then this guy gave a website. I did not get the website. My friend did. He read it. It scared him. So I'm just wanting to know what your knowledge is about that. And then if you don't know anything now, could you have somebody research it and then update us on it, please?
Well, I really don't need to. And this is nothing new. In October 2004, the Food and Drug Administration approved the marketing of a microchip that could be implanted under the skin of human beings for medical identification. And as a result of that, you have all these paranoid prophecy pundits that begin touting Verichip technology as the mark of the beast, which is spoken of in Revelation chapter 13. But this is newspaper eschatology. There's no biblical basis for believing that the mark of the beast is some kind of a silicone microchip. The biblical idea of the mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the Lamb. Just as the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 in Revelation 14 symbolizes identity with the Lamb, in similar fashion, the mark in Revelation 13 symbolizes identity with the beast. Now, if you look at believers today real closely, you're not going to see on their foreheads some kind of writing or scribbling that God placed there. Right. Even though Jesus says, "On him who overcomes, I will write the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, I will also write on him my new name."
Mm-hmm.
That language isn't meant to convey that Jesus is going to get out some kind of a magic marker or a tattoo machine and write something on your forehead or your hands. And the reason you know that is you are always to read Scripture and to interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. And if you do that, you go to the Old Testament and recognize immediately that the forehead and the hands are symbols of what you believe and what your behavior is. For example, in Ezekiel, what you believe and how you behave mark you as either belonging to God or belonging to Satan. The same thing's true in Exodus. The same thing's true in Deuteronomy. So if you know the Old Testament, you realize that the mark of the beast that John communicates in Revelation 13 is a parody of the mark of the Lamb, and therefore doesn't necessitate any kind of specific silicone implantation in the skin. It is a way of saying that you're either marked out for Satan or marked out for the Lamb. And how you act, in other words, what you do, and what you believe identifies you as either belonging to the beast or belonging to the Lamb. So no microchip is necessary. If you belong to Christ, the Food and Drug Administration will know that without a silicone chip.
Correct. That was the long and short of that. Now, I wanted to know one final question from you, Hank. Thank you for your time and patience. I got one other question. My son is attending the International House of Prayer, and I've directed him to your articles on the CRI website, and he told me that if he found anything that was credulous, which I told him, you know, that you're well read, you're the people there are educated, they've searched it out, and they know that the meanings of words in the original context in the writings, and that he can trust the theologians who have written information on International House of Prayer. But I'm wondering specifically if you were going to tell me one thing for him to read. He's 26. Do you have an idea of something, because he is sincere about his faith, that he should read in order to help him and help me?
Yeah, a couple of things. We did an article in the Christian Research Journal on Mike Bickle.
Okay.
And so that article is available. If you want to hang on, we can send it out to you, or you can probably download it from our website at equip.org.
Okay. Is there someone that after I get off the radio that can show me how to do that?
Yeah.
After I get off the phone with you?
Yeah, exactly. And we can put it in your hands. If you can't download it from the web, we can put it in your hands right away.
Okay. Well, Hank, can I say a short prayer for you?
I'd love it.
Lord, thank you for Hank Hanegraaff, God. I thank you for this faithful servant who loves your name. God, I thank you for blessing him and expanding his borders, God. God, I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, that we would all just be one in your spirit and sanctified by your truth, for your word is truth. Thank you for Hank Hanegraaff and strengthening his hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless you, my brother. Thank you so much. I can't remember the last time anyone's done that on the broadcast, but it was a genuine blessing. Thank you for bringing us into the presence of our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Brian. And again, hang on. We'll get that information out to you. You can hear from the music that we're almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But as promised, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. We'll continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, please be patient. If you're dialing in the number in the U.S. or Canada, simply 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265, and we'll be taking your calls in just a moment. And do remember, the Christian Research Journal, which I just mentioned to Brian, is an award-winning magazine. It probes today's religious movements. It promotes doctrinal discernment and critical thinking. And it provides reasons for Christian faith and ethics. If you haven't subscribed, check it out right now on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you as you stay in His Word.
We are pleased to bring to your attention a different way for us to be involved together. CRI is able and, in fact, eager to offer charitable gift annuities as a way of partnering with our ministry. Charitable gift annuities have been an important tool in the nonprofit community for over 170 years. For the right person, they can enhance your retirement income, reduce taxes, and at the same time create a gift to the Christian Research Institute at your death. The charitable gift annuity offers very attractive interest rates depending upon your age. To learn more, visit us at www.equip.org and click on Donate Now and then Planned Giving. From there, if you'd like more personalized assistance, just submit a contact form and we'll be in touch with you. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
A global catastrophe is just hours away, and only one man can stop it. In his hands, he holds the fuse of Armageddon. Fuse of Armageddon, the riveting novel by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. Hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn must come face-to-face with his past in order to stop the worst terrorist threat of all time, a plot to bring about the ultimate uprising by destroying one of the most sacred relics in history. Only Quinn can stop an unholy trinity of evil from achieving this goal. But will he be in time? Or is it already too late? The entire world hangs in the balance, and failure means Armageddon. Fuse of Armageddon, the explosive novel by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org.